Hey guys, welcome back to Soundboard, where me and Jay sort of sit down and talk about a bunch of things that happen in and around our business. So roll the intro. Hey Jay, what's up?
What's up?
How was your weekend?
It was really good. Just played a bit of golf, really quiet.
Yeah,
laying low. You had a good week.
Yeah, getting about it at the moment. Yeah. I've probably got Anzac Day on me this Sunday, and then after that I'm going to try and knock it on the head a little bit.
No, I'm talking about your week of success. Like, sold out in how many minutes?
More worried about going out and stuff.
No. You're good like that. What do you call it, midnight?
Midnight. Cinderella.
Back home.
Cinderella session. So I'm always home by midnight. Cinderella, so it's good. Yeah. All right. So today we've actually got a name for it, Soundboard, which I think is a really cool name.
Yeah.
Me and you spend a little bit of time together off air and just sort of go for lunch and coffees and bounce ideas off each other. So this is going to just be an extension of this. So hiring and firing, super interesting topic. We're going to start with business partners first. Yep. Where do you want to start? How do you want to start this?
Well, I think a bit of grateful for our business partners. We love our business partners. I think it's a really tough thing getting into business with someone, because essentially what you're doing is you're making a life commitment in really like a territory where it's indefinite. Hey, like it's sort of just.
Do you feel like most people start a business with their friends at the start as well?
I think it can go one way or the other. Like, you know, I think you can just automatically like click with someone and then your intentions are purely business, or you can have a relationship that underlies and brings you both together on like a business front. For me personally, Amal and I had a friendship before we started our business, which I think it made for a really good foundation. But you have to remember getting a little bit later into business that you can often tamper that friendship a little bit just through just like extra stresses and stuff.
I remember seeing this meme one time and said, if you haven't tried to start a business when you're with your friends while you're drunk, like, are they even your actual friends?
It's so true. Like, how many times over like a few like glasses of wine or a few beers or something like that could you be like, how good would it be if this existed? Like, it's just it can happen easy.
I'm glad I went in with Chico and Normie at the start, because like probably we had just blind ignorance, you know what I mean? Like, oh, let's just start a clothing brand, and it kind of.
So how
just
did you start? How did that foundation form?
We actually like, because we used to go out a lot, and then everyone used to hit us up about the weekends, and then we used to go out travel overseas, and a lot of people kind of gravitated towards us when we were out. Said we're like got a great chemistry.
The tripod's got good energy.
Yeah. So we had great energy. People always hanging out with us and stuff, and we're like, oh, imagine if we filmed our lives. That was kind of like the first subject, then. We just kind of just, we had like, you know, we've talked about this before, but we had like YKTI as just a saying around the house and just threw it onto a t-shirt. But I remember we'll go, all right, we're going to take this a bit more seriously. Like normally I need like 5K and Chico 5K and I'll put in 5K as well.
And that's when you know when the money goes down, like you're sealing a deal. It's like making a commitment.
And I remember Norman going, well, 5K? It sounds like fuck all now. But
yeah, I know. You probably look at your expenses now and think, fuck, we'd be lucky back then. 5K is like nothing in comparison, dropping the ocean.
And like a lot of people that start clothing businesses, they say you need about half a mil to get to a certain like point. And we sort of started with 15K. So it's been a bit of a ride.
Well, for Amal and I, we didn't have any overheads as such because we were an online business. But what we had in common, our common denominator was always just like the big dreamers. So we were kids and saying like, oh, we're going to go to Silicon Valley and build an app and all this kind of stuff, which now kind of seems like you do need to have two different kettles of fish to be able to have that synergy between the two of you. And we always just had that. We were just always like left of field thinking, always outside the box. We both worked at Google. So I think that kind of harvested that little bit of like.
It's a good environment to be in.
Such a good environment. But literally since day dot, like of all the ups and downs, and when I say downs, I just mean little bickers here and there, like nothing tragic. But of all the ups and downs, always been on the same page, which I think is just like, if you can take anything from this in a business relationship, it's fundamental, absolutely fundamental.
Okay, here's a question for you. Sweat equity versus actual equity at the start. Obviously, like a lot of times when people go into partnerships, they're like, I don't have the money, but I can do all the work for you as well. So how much is that important?
I think what's really important when you're going into partnership with someone is to assess what everyone's bringing to the table and make sure it's complementary, and then also your partnership is then reflective of what you are bringing to the table. So for example, if you've got one person that's got the money and then the other person that's got the idea, you need to value off that idea versus the
how equity. Do you do that?
Well, I mean, it's a bit of like a forecast kind of equation, I believe. It's sort of like looking into the future and thinking, okay, at what point will this money be just a drop in the ocean to what this idea will eventuate to, sort of thing. So I think you take a bit of a gamble with it. There's no like perfect formula, but I think if you're sitting down and doing a 50-50, you're going to at the end of the day know that you're going into a fair partnership. Like you would know.
So obviously when me and the boys went in, we went 33, 33, 33. And then off the back of that.
Is it still the same?
Nah, well, because I negotiated a little bit more. And
of course you did. Hustle.
Yeah, no. And it wasn't even like that. It was we were like a year and a half, 2 years in, and we had no contracts whatsoever. Mm. And Chico was the one that was really pushing for contracts. He's like, oh, let's get a contract so it's down. And
you know what?
And
I was like, Chico, because even if you've got a friendship, right, if you just need that initial shareholders agreement, it's really important. So even if you're – everyone who goes into partnership on a handshake basis –
Get in the contract straight away.
I think formalities done.
And then we went into this – we got a guy to come down and mediate the actual meeting for us because we'd never had a serious conversation about it. And all I was – at the time, I just kind of needed this validation from the boys there where – because I'd done everything. I'd done designs, website. I'd done fucking everything from top to bottom.
Yeah.
Never asked the boys to do anything besides post on Instagram. And I was probably a little bit insecure myself as an entrepreneur and as a business person. And I went into this meeting and I knew I was already angry and that me and Chica had this mad argument within there. And all I was asking for was 3% of the boys.
Yeah.
So I was just like, boys, I've done everything. And they never said thank you or anything. All I wanted was this validation through them. Once they gave it to me, I kind of didn't even want it anymore. So I've got 40, they've got 30, but that's in the clothing side.
Yeah.
YKTR Sports, I've got a lot more, bit more.
And
the second time when we come around to that, it was just based off money.
Yeah.
So here's the idea. Whoever puts in the money gets the equity.
Yeah. See, I don't know. I feel touch wood, I've been super lucky in that regard in that we haven't really had to renegotiate because it's always been very 50-50. And even in our business journey, Amal's had her time to shine and I've had my time to shine. I'm very front end, the voice and the vocals of the business in terms of marketing. And then, I wrote the book and I do all that kind of stuff. But then she does a lot of the tech. It is very 50-50.
Yeah. So that's cool. That's a nice balance. Where you want to be
And I think that makes for a really sturdy partnership as well. It's you scratch my back, I scratch yours, and it's really 50-50. And even at the end of the day, and I think this is really important to a partnership too, is there's got to be a point where it's not always about the money.
Mm.
Even tomorrow, Amal could say to me, Jade, I'm doing it mentally really tough. I just want to take 6 months out and go to a retreat and just find my soul, whatever. She's perfectly happy that will not happen. But if she did that to me, I would be like, cool, you do you. Go and do that. And I wouldn't be the money and there comes a time where you got to put that to the side and you have to also have each other's best interests at heart, I feel. So there's a bit of integrity as well as strategy in choosing a business partner too. You have to be genuine and then you also have to be a bit smart as well.
Mm. Yeah, definitely agree. And I've gone into partnerships and I was meant to go into one with Jackson before and off the back of this meeting, I was I paid unders to get what I thought was to get into his business. And after a while, I was like, oh no, I actually don't want it anymore. You can have it, you can have it back. And I feel like that stuff's really important as well because you want to sleep at night as well.
So
I think equity's really, really important. And at the start, I thought it was the be all end all. But then moving into obviously different types of partnerships and businesses, I'm in three or four now. I'm happy to let go of equity if you got the right people in the right
100%.
Places.
100%. So seeing a compatible skill set is really good as well. So someone, I'm in the tech space, right? And I'm not a tech founder.
Yep.
So if I went onto another venture and, someone brought to the table tech and I was in that tech space, I would value that.
Oh,
so highly now, you know what I mean? So I guess it's sort of looking for what you don't have. So a little bit the same in the hiring sort of thing as well. I hire on the basis of people that bring something that I don't bring or can't bring or whatnot. And I think partnership is also the same sort of thesis as well, the same ethos.
And it does get a little bit different when the company actually starts making money. And say I'm just going to use my examples for I get all the credit for YKTR and all this sort of stuff. And then credit to Chico and Normie because they're in the background, even though they're forefront at the start, their equity split will never change. Mm. I've looked them in the eye. I've shaken their hands. I've written contracts. I'll never try and fuck the boys over. But a lot of the times where someone Scope will get the praise or I get the praise or Simi's getting the praise at the moment. And sometimes it might be, and it's not hard for Normie, but I think Chico's sometimes gone I want to be a part of this more. I was the one that started it and he's had these opportunities to come in, but credit to them now, man. They just they understand their role within the business and they can be in content if they want to, but they just know that as long as Scope's getting better and Simi's getting better and Jackson and Lukey are getting better, they're just going with it as well. And sometimes it hasn't always been that hasn't always felt like that for the boys. And net worth's like a little bit different, you know what I mean? Because you don't get money straight away.
Well, you know what? It's weird. I was actually going to bring that up with you because I do think initially when you walk into a business, right, you have to put aside the fact that you're going to make a quick buck and you have to look at long term. So that's why I think when you're negotiating and whatnot, you really have to think with like a bigger picture in mind. It can't be like, oh, well, I'm bringing all this money to the table now. It's like, no. If we put our minds and our skills together, this is what we're going to produce in the future. Like that's what we're working for. We're not working for the now, you're working for the future. And you kind of hope that one day the pie is going to be that big that it's not really going to make any difference. That's what you hope, hey.
And so we'll roll into hiring off the back of that. And the thing I said to the boys was like, we need to hire the right people for us to grow up.
So what was your first hiring experience?
So I just hired because I needed help.
Yeah.
So Natasha.
That's usually what happens. You usually get to the point where your hands are so full that you're like, fuck, I've got to offload or else I'm just going to like hit the wall.
Yeah. And like I was in that little phase where like, because I was documenting everything. I thought hard work's important, but I kind of feel like it's overrated. Like you'd rather work smarter. Mm. So I was packaging orders like 15 hours a day on my own. Mm. I was like riding it out. And then obviously the way to work smarter was to print the labels out.
Yeah.
Smart like that. And then obviously moved to 3PL.
Yeah.
And that was sort of the first transition of like, shit, I need to work smarter. So the first person I hired was Natasha. Mm. She still works for me now. She lives in France, but she was loyal to me very early on. So I want to repay the favor. Yep. But then after that, it was like an actual company, 3PL. So we use third-party logistics to get rid of all our stuff. So two different ways. You guys, who are we?
So Amal and I, I remember the first time we said we needed help, and basically we did this shift and it was just before an 8-week challenge and it was just her and I. So we were the two head coaches and the marketers and the finances and everything.
But that's an important part. You want to be all those, you want to wear a bunch of different hats early on. Yeah, that's important.
Yeah. So we wore all the hats at the start. And then I remember we moved in together because we were like, we're going to save time. Because I was driving to her place at Panania every day and we're working off like her mum's lounge room floor sort of thing. Mm. And then we decided to move in together. So we got this townhouse down in Welsh Bay and we had this little like front room, which we worked in. Anyway, we're working out of that. And this one shift we did, we started at 6 a.m. and we finished at 4 a.m. the next day. Ooh. And then started again at 6. Mm. And then that cycle kept going. And I think it was like 5 days. We'd had like less than 10 hours sleep in 5 days. And it literally, we had like bloodshot eyes. Like it was.
Yeah, that'll probably happen.
Yeah, it was tough.
There's a big chance of that happening.
It was so tough. And we just said we needed help. I phoned my sister. I said, how much annual leave you got under your belt? Sorry, NRMA, I'm going to expose it here. So I said, how much annual leave do you have under your belt? She said, I've got shitloads. And so I said, can you take it? We need heaps of help. So anyway, so she came and we trained her up and she became our first nutrition coach. And then
Zara?
Yeah, Zara, just never left. Yeah. So we kind of offered her the job like a couple of weeks in and it was funny because when you're like pitching, I guess like security to a family member, you're really just basing it off like, trust me, this is going to work.
Yeah.
It's like you've really got
nothing. It's funny you got those.
Yeah, you've got nothing to offer at that point. It's just like we were obviously making money, but in the same breath, it was like, is this periodic money or is this like long-term money? But Zara knew me and I've always been a bit of a hustler and I think she just put her trust into me and just said, you know what? And the business, as I said before, stands for something. So she was buying into it, not only a vision, but also it represented like something. It was
those sort of first hiring meetings are really funny, because you're like,
just help.
So I remember Natasha coming in, like we officially put her like on the books because we're just giving her like hourly payments and stuff, and I was like, I don't know if we're going to make it, but like if I do, I'm going to take you with me. Just trust me.
That's what it was like as well.
I think I've got it on camera too, so which was pretty cool.
I wish I vlogged more throughout that whole experience. It would have been just so funny because I even remember Day Dot. Like we've got a gorgeous bougie office now, but Day Dot, the girls were working off Kmart tables in the front room of our
shout out Kmart. Doozy store.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it got us by. But yeah, so I had that conversation with Zara and then Amal and I, we just found we were really like scattered. Like everything was all over the shop. So we said PA.
Classic startup.
Yeah, classic startup. So PA was like our first point of call. Amal pitched to her laser lady who was really good with like social media and stuff. And she said, do you want to come in and do a bit of PA work, a bit of social media because she was really good with like Instagram and whatnot. Trish. Mm. Anyway, so Trish came in and she was our first PA and then we had Zara and it just kind of like grew from there. So initially I would say the basis that our team was formed on was like friends and family.
Yeah.
And then we ended up hiring Beck, who was like another girl from that I knew from the area. She was in my younger brother's year. And it was sort of just like, I think I got comfort in knowing these people as people before bringing them into my team.
Mm.
So there was I didn't hire randomly, I guess you could say.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been really lucky. Like you sort of talk about it sort of scales out like a lot quicker. So yep. We've gone from like 3 to 5 in the space of a month. You know what I mean? We took on scope the other day. But like, yeah, it does move kind of quick. And you do want to have people within your trust circle. But say Lukey got a job here. He kind of reverse engineered me. So he should just send me content. And I don't know, like, who the fuck is this?
So good. Yeah. I love that shit. You rarely see that, you know?
Yeah. And everyone, like I get people pitch to me, go, hey, I'll give you like a week's free work. You know what I mean? And then with the chance of me hiring later, I was like, yeah, probably not going to.
Have you ever
work.
Done interns?
Nah. Jackson like used to write us articles for like 1.5 years while doing his own job. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I was like, oh shit, I trust him. So he can work. Same as Scope. He done like, even though Scope's getting paid from ad revs and stuff like that, like he's just proved himself. So I didn't see any risk with these people.
Yeah. I've had 2 interns before. And
are they good?
It's a really beautiful experience because they're usually like young. Well, I had 2 young girls and they were fans of the business and they loved being a mullet. It was just a really nice experience. They brought a nice energy into the office. They work really hard, and they're new minds and thinkers. So I guess they come up with like ideas and things like that that you wouldn't necessarily think of because they're outside of the day-to-day. It was a good experience.
All right. So when you hire someone, do you contract them first or do you put them on probation periods?
We have a probation period.
How long is your probation period?
Ours is 3 to 6 months depending upon the salary.
I think 6 months is kind of a good spot because you can't, you can fake a month, you can fake 3 months.
Yeah.
It's hard to fake half a year.
It definitely. And I think with some of those senior roles where the salary is quite exy, I think it's definitely necessary to test the waters because it's like a relationship, hey, like you pretty much
you got the honeymoon phase.
Definitely. And then that wears off and if you've signed on the dotted line and you're stuck, it puts you in a bit of a sticky situation.
And why should people contract before putting them on? Just through law wise, you can fire him straight away.
You can,
without reason.
Yeah. And even little things as well. Like I would say to any new business,
you're gonna have to pay super in taxes.
I would even say to any new business owner as well, that's sort of like sitting on the fence with, you know, whether to hire someone or not, like look into like all the legalities and whatnot first and foremost.
It's important, yeah.
Because you can often, and I find this a lot with like uni students will come to you and they'll say, you know, I can't work this day, I can't work that way day, I can't do this, I can't do that. But then they want all the benefits of like a part-time contract, for example.
Yeah.
So I would like put them instead on a casual contract or something like that. But I would seek advice first and foremost when you are in that initial stage of hiring. But firstly, I would lay out what needs to be hired for initially. Like just a little prioritize it.
Like when I do all charts, yeah, super definitely. Important. But they're what it looks like. So say YKTR's one will be like Isaac, and then it goes down and goes to these different people. Say Jackson, yeah. Luke, Natasha, and then you write their roles underneath that. And it wasn't until I sort of started doing that, like, oh shit, we actually do need to hire someone out here. And when I hired Lukey, like he was contracted as well. And I basically go, like I'm paying you this amount. I need you to get me like. X
you make
amount?
Up, yeah. So honestly,
for me to justify me hiring you, and this is you we've got this for 6 weeks, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah,
but he was still on probation, but I go, we've got a 6 week window for this to work, and obviously knew within 2 days it was going to be fine. But yeah, it was kind of laid out like that.
And it's sort of like being able to find a balance between motivating enough and also justifying through that employment status as well. So you don't want to be giving away too much money in the sense that they're not making it back to a certain degree in the business.
Yeah, agree.
But in the same breath, you really want your staff to be motivated. And whenever we have boom times and whatnot, we're the first to give out, you know, bonuses and things like that. And we're working on a new, Amal and I today actually are working on a new incentive structure and like sort of just something just to keep everyone alive and sort of, you know, just cheering for the business, I guess.
Because I was on a pay matrix early on. So when we had that conversation with Chico and Normie, like I got paid like fuck all, but I had bonuses in there.
Yep.
And I kept hitting them and it was only me and Natasha at the time. So whenever I used to get a bonus, I used to just give her like half. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Something
yeah.
to keep very happy. So that was fun though.
Do you pay dividends? Is that how you
No, we haven't paid dividends yet, but I think we're not We're not too far off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So essentially dividends is like a little, it's a little piece of the pie when the pie is looking healthy. Yes.
Yeah.
that's how it works.
And we've always put our, and I've always said that to the boys, like I've always put our money back into the business and like hiring people and scaling out. Yeah, you have to. Yeah. Like if we started taking dividends out, like in theory, say if we gave out like 100K dividend between us three boys, like I could turn that 100K into, this is how I think.
That's how you think, yeah.
Like I can go, oh shit, that's two staff members there, or I can turn this into 100K worth of clothes and we could sell it for X amount, which turns into this. So it's that balance of when to take it and knowing when to put it back into the business. But I think early on, back into the business is more important.
So clothing for you is like tech for me. So as soon as we started making money, we put it straight back into tech and we automated and sped up our processes. So we didn't only need like less staff, but their jobs were more satisfactory as well. Like it was more efficient in terms of processes. So I think if you are in a position where you find yourself continually hiring people, you need to start looking at
who's doing that? Who's doing what?
Who's doing what? And your internal processes as a business as well. Because I think if you're always hiring, which was us at a certain point, I think you need to start looking at what you can automate, what you can, you know, maybe even offshore or something like that. So that's all part of the hiring process as well. It's not only like people are not always the solution, you know?
And we'll talk about that as well. So a lot of people won't have the early success that we've had within businesses. I wouldn't say early success or overnight success, but a lot of people just need a bit of offshore work as well. So how can they find that?
So I know, I mean, my experience with it hasn't been great just because we got our tech done overseas before finding it on our own soil. And it was a lot cheaper when I think about it now, but it wasn't successful in the sense that like there was a lot of language barriers. So communicating was quite difficult. When it came time to receive the front end, there was like spelling mishaps and there was all sorts happening. So I think there's a few considerations. I know that there's a lot of admin and data entry companies like
Offsees,
and apparently they're quite good. I haven't had personal experience with it, but I know that you can like probably look into it just through some research and whatnot, and that can be quite successful.
Yeah, places like Upwork and Fiverr, like basic graphic design stuff, admin. You can do bookkeeping with these types of people, and a lot of them is really, really cheap.
Yeah,
you do kind of feel bad for what you're paying them, but in terms of their country, they're actually getting a lot of money, and sometimes it's like $10 a day.
Do you know what I think is the best helping hand when you're first starting out and you need work done? Talk to people where you've seen it done the best. You know, if you really like someone's graphics or their Instagram or their something or other, ask them, like, who did it for you? How'd you learn? What programs do you use? I remember asking someone on Instagram once, oh, how'd you make that story? And they said, oh, I just use Canva. So it was just a home job.
Shout out to Canva.
Yeah.
Fucking best website.
And best biz as well. Jesus, they're flying high.
Yeah.
So just asking people who they used and, you know, what they did to get going. I think talking to people, and that's why I love doing this kind of stuff with you as well, because I think if anyone can take anything out of it, it can make it so much easier. It can make a really complex web of processes simplified. Like it just makes it a lot easier.
All right. So balance between being a boss and friend and sister, where do you draw the line?
Ask my sister. She'll be like, she's doing a rubbish job. No, I personally, this is why I've loved being in business with Amal, because I feel that I'm a very emotionally driven person. I could cry at the drop of a hat. I feel deeper than most humans and whatnot. And I think you need someone complimentary to you just to keep you 2 feet on the ground at some time. So for me, that's been her. Like, I think she's kept me really grounded and sort of thought strategy when I've thought on an emotional basis. I'm still personally trying to navigate that whole, you know, friendship and whatnot. But I will say, when I first started hiring people, I used to party with my team a fair bit. So we, you know, like a means of reward or whatnot was something that we used to do.
You can come party with me.
We literally used to get like a table at the island and like throw on like a weekend pre-drinks at our place. We'll get it catered for. And then we used to, you know, get on a boat and go party somewhere. And it had its time and place, but I think as we grew and as we grew as like a reputable company in the nutrition space, that needed to taper back a little bit. And I sort of put my boss hat on then, and, you know, that's not something that I do now with the girls. So I think that's important. Draw that line. I mean, you can't, you're your best mates, but
Jackson, no more partying with us, bro.
No, but I think, you know, different stages as well.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Took me a while to sort of do the mental, like, mind, because I used to hate having tough conversations with the boys, but like when shit's not getting done, you need to crack the whip at the same time as well. So I do try and pre-warn them. Like, I'm like, hey, like, this is kind of not good enough. And like the Simi situation was like, hey, bro, are you getting comfortable? And he goes, no, I'm not. And then he didn't do anything. I was like, all right, cool, bang. Do you know what I mean? So
we love Simi though.
Yeah, I'm learning that sort of, but you want to be in this, like, if you want to sort of jump into bed with your mates and hire them, you do need to, and you want to be the boss as well. I think you need to understand that it comes with different types of pressures as well.
Yeah.
And you are grateful that you can provide these opportunities for these people as well, 100%. But they are coming into a house that's already built, that's already worked hard on, and they can't fuck it up at the same time. And I do have these conversations, and I'll do anything to help you out, but I need you to do this while we're doing it this way.
And I think also as a business owner, you will tend to have a different relationship with those who you hired at the start to those who have come in at a later date.
Mm.
Because the ones who hustle in the trenches with you, I mean, you have a different set of memories, like appreciation, respect, understanding for those employees versus like the ones
that they had it for you as well too.
Definitely. You know what I mean? So you always have to remember where you came from. Like, I don't think you can get too big for your boots in the sense that like you make it big time and you forget who was there at the start.
Mm.
And that's something that I'll always have, I guess, with my sister, you know, like, it might not be the easiest thing for the other girls to work in an environment where the boss's sister is like in the house, because I like to think that I'm a really fair person, but at the end of the day, I'll always have my sister's back.
Mm.
But in saying that as well,
you'd be harder on her as well too, wouldn't you?
I have really high expectations, and I generally think that like Amal and I are pretty tough to work for. Like we haven't made it just by fucking spiders, you know. We did it really hardcore. We worked really, really hard, and we have, you know, high expectations. We have, you know, strict deliverables and whatnot. So I think whilst we have a lot of fun up there, and you've been up there and you know what the culture's like and the energy, it's a good vibe up there. At the end of the day, I think business is business, and you're obviously in it because you've got a element of strength that not the ordinary person has. So I think you need to honor that at the best and worst of times as well.
Mm.
So I like to think that I'm a really good human. I'll always do things that'll let me sleep at night, but at the end of the day as well, business is business, you know?
And I think pressure and accountability is really good, and when you apply it in the right amounts, you know what I mean? So like, say Lukey, for example, he got a pay rise because he fucking deserved it, but when we had a beer and we were having the snitty over at the pub, I was like, oh, like, you're getting more money, so my expectation of you is going to be a lot higher. And he's always like lived up to that as well. So same with Scope, he'll be coming in now. It's not so much like, oh, let's fuck around and make podcasts. Like, I've got an expectation of you now because I'm like paying you. So
yeah, definitely. And you
and
know,
it's not trying to be a dick about it. It's just like, but this
sometimes
is
sometimes you do have to be a bit dicky, to be honest with you. Like, at the end of the day, that thing either floats with you or you step out of the equation and start being like a snowflake, and then the whole thing could come crashing down. So you need to back your business.
And we do Inside YKTR, which is a very transparent podcast that I don't think too many people do, but like a lot of people see me on that and they're like, oh, like you're arrogant, like stuff. But I'm just talking about, because I'm talking about money, I'm talking about hiring and friends, and I'm saying like, oh, Simi, that's not good enough.
Well, I mean, you've built your brand on openness and transparency and honesty, and I think it's good. Like, I mean, some businesses keep things behind closed doors. You've got one that people are invested in not only like the actual brand itself, but also like the behind the scenes. They love a bit of like, how many people jumped on the back foot of the whole Jordan thing and like got amongst it? And like, he even got messages of like support and stuff too. So I mean, like, there's pros and cons. But I think
Scope's brand was built off the back of me like dropping him from podcasts. He was giving out fucking shit tips, and I was like, bro, this ain't like, you're giving away shit tips, and we cut him off for 3 weeks and everyone got behind him.
I look at him, right, and he's an amazing addition to your team.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Agree.
Unreal. Like, just really complements the brand, and I think that's a really good example of like –
he's helped shape sports.
100%. I think that's a really good example of the benefits of hiring someone. You've literally hired like another body part onto like the full piece. Like, it's just through him. It's just great.
All right. Company culture. How do you build it?
Well, I mean, I often talk about Google as being like they built the foundations, I feel, of what Amal and I wanted when we walked into being.
What was Google like?
Just vibey as fuck. Yeah. It was just such a good place to work. I mean, it felt like work because the KPIs were pretty rigid, but in the same breath, there was times where it just didn't even feel like work because it was just such a good environment. And I think it was all about creating that balance, you know, like we had like foosball tables in the office, and it was just on a aesthetic basis, like gorgeous to look at, free lunches, all that kind of stuff.
Free and lunch, fuck.
How legit, good. It's like a cafeteria.
No, Jackson, no.
Jackson's like, bro.
Let me get some catering in there, no.
There was a lot of perks, and they were small things, but they really shaped your enthusiasm for work working for the company. And the training was really good. So you were always like on the ball with your work. I feel like I got smarter there. I feel like I was really good at my job. I was on a comm base addition to my package. So that was really motivating for me. I just used to hustle hard. Like I was sales for ad space. So I was like on the phones and I was making more money in commission than I was my base salary. So yeah, she's clean enough. She's clean enough. So I guess like there was a lot of motivation in that workplace that Amal and I then took for the Ecolution space as well.
I think office spaces, once you can, like obviously once you can afford it, I think office space is important. Sure. You want to walk in and feel good and you feel like you belong and it's an inspiring environment to be around.
Yeah.
And I always used to have run-ins with my accountant because he's like, no, it's like cost. Same.
Amal and I have gotten the whip cracked on us and like, what the hell are you girls doing being Santa Claus up in that house? Yeah. Like, but it's like, there are girls, you know, like I always say, like I'm 28, right? I don't have kids yet or anything like that. And I always say like my kids are up there. Like I spoil them just like a parent would. And you know, you do good, you get good. That's the way I kind of look at it. And one thing as well, which I wanted to bring up earlier, always keep good communication, you know, because I feel like that's something.
What does good communication look like?
Just honesty and transparency. Like if you're unhappy with performance or something like that, don't let that fester and come out in your attitude towards a staff member. Do a simple pull aside, you know, have a chat. Those people have got your best interest in heart at heart just as much as they've got their own at heart. And
do you force meetings to go we're gonna have a 15-minute chat with you individually throughout the whole company, or is it kind of like reactive?
It's not really something that Amal and I like doing personally because we do have those friendships and like we don't want to be like the cool mom and the mean mom and all that kind of stuff.
Are you the cool mom?
I don't know. Yeah, probably am. But like we don't generally like having those chats with ourselves because I think doing so in a company where you've got quite a few staff and you're the founders, it's a little bit intimidating as well. So that's why I think it's always really good to appoint like an ops manager or a team leader or something like that so you can – I mean, even Bree, our EA, does a lot of those chats for us. We'll sort of express something that we're like not satisfied with or we want done better and she'll sort of communicate it through like a team email or pull someone aside or something like that.
Yeah, communication is really important. And like even if you're frustrated with a certain thing, it's not like – and it's hard because I've come from sports and my dad was like fucking like really direct with me as well. So it was kind of like no like buttering in and around it. It was just kind of like bang. And then you go into sports where it's such a high-paced environment and you're playing the next week, it's just like bang, bang. So I've had to learn to sort of talk to different people in different ways.
Definitely. So that's a really good point. When you have a team, understanding personality types and what people respond to and how to have a conversation. I've definitely had my fair share of shithouse conversations where I've said something and I've walked away, I thought, you could have delivered that a lot better, you know. But it's all like a learning curve as well. I often say, you know, when I started that thing as kids and, you know, if there's a few falls before you get back up again, then so be it. But it's all like a learning curve. You can't become a worse leader. You need to become a better leader. And I think that's something that you consciously work on sort of day, day out. I've even personally noticed it a lot with you as well, because usually when you crack the whip, it's because you're not only unsatisfied with something that's happening then and there with a particular person, but there's also probably a lot happening in the background as well that sort of adds fuel to the fire.
Oh, of course.
So
got invoices to pay and you got no money to pay for. Fuck.
Yeah, you can even see the energy, how you just like, it does. Like if you have other things happening at the same time, it's often about separating yourself from that and just sitting down, keeping you cool. Don't talk and have conversations on emotion.
Oh, it's the worst. Just fucking sit with it. Emotion's bad. So one thing I always remember, remember when you get like a hiding from, well, I don't know if you've got hidings, but.
Oh yeah, got felt it.
You get a hiding. So you get a hiding from your parents, or then your parents go like, fuck, I'm disappointed. And I remember the disappointed chats more than the, and I had a coach one time and like I used to get sprayed all the time, but I remember he come up to me one time and I dropped two balls at training and he goes, like, you're too good to be dropping balls like that, and just walked off. And I remember that and I remember my parents going, oh, fuck, you've let me down.
Yeah. I've played that card.
Give me the hiding card instead.
With boyfriends as well.
Yeah.
I'm not upset. I'm just really disappointed.
So like it's not like a tactic, but I think some people like that really resonated with me. So I think, yeah, I don't know.
And do you know what? As a boss as well, I feel like there's people that are going to walk into a workplace and their own business and some are going to feel and some are going to have absolutely no feeling senses whatsoever. Both are fine, but I think like both have like a time and place as well. So you can't walk into a conversation with an employee just like off tap, high on emotion. You just, it's just, I've done it before. Trust me. Like I'm not saying I'm perfect, but I've definitely done it before, but it just does not end well. So you've just got to really disconnect from that.
So what, when's like talent, now we'll talk about like talent and sort of people that actually just execute, like.
Yeah.
Obviously, what's the balance there? It's obviously going to be different for every business, but.
Yeah, well, for sure. We've spoken about how we hire and whatnot before, and I've dropped that, you know, resumes sometimes like just kind of like pop it in front of me and just move it around a little bit throughout the meeting. But
for coaster.
Yeah. But for the most part, what walks into the room and the energy that that
energy is so important.
So important. Yeah. It's a vibe. It's like an initial, you kind of got to trust your gut instinct a little bit as well. But a piece of paper can say a million and one things. I could have a PhD student sit in front of me. And to be honest with you, if I vibe better with, you know, someone else who I think has got a better cultural fit for my company, then they'll get the job over the PhD student. Sorry, all the uni students out there that are going, fuck, I'm spending like $70,000 on this degree. But to be honest with you, it is. It's the make or break thing. I think there's got to be like a right culture fit. But in saying that too, I think it's always important to hire people that are smarter than you and that can do things better than you. So I think there's got to be like a balance.
And it takes a bit of like awareness is sort of like, oh, I need, because sometimes when a lot of people, when they're bosses, they want to be like, I want it done this way. These are my ideas. I think that's super important to let go of those reins and do hire people smarter than you. And it doesn't always have to be IQ smarter. It's like fucking Luke is like internet smart. Like we need that. You know what I mean? Jackson's like written smart. We need that. So, and yeah, like you said, you don't want to be walking into your own house with someone that you don't like, you know, walking on eggshells around someone like kind of fucking annoying. Like that'd be the worst to come to work with someone you don't like.
And I think as well that also comes down to that relationship that you initially build with the staff member as well. Like I've, you know, often been party to conversations where I'm like, oh, I just felt like I was working for my staff member when I'm in actual fact it's the other way around. So I think like if you initiate a relationship that's based off a friendship, it's really hard to then take a later authority. So, you know, how they communicate to you is often like how it begins, and if you begin as like really tight friends, it's really hard to then turn into like a boss. And you might have someone who's super talented, but then they also feel entitled. So you have that, like, I guess that power shift. You know, it's like a bit of a disconnect.
Entitlement's the worst.
Yeah, fuck that. No, I'm pretty lucky. You know, I'll say all my girls and, you know, everything like that upstairs has been pretty. I'm pretty blessed. Like, it's been pretty good today.
I'm kind of passive aggressive with my sprays.
I know. I've been witness to it.
I was just thinking about that. All right, firing. I remember when I first started and I was like, oh, I want to be like.
Have you fired anyone?
Nah, that's the thing. That's why I'm rolling this on to you. I was like, the worst thing to fire someone, but I don't think I'd have an issue with it anymore.
The first time I had to do it, it was really tough. And to be honest with you, I barely slept at night and my stomach was like just in knots. I knew. The thing is, you know when you know. Yeah. So you know when it's time to let go of someone.
I feel like they know as well. Eh?
They know too. Yeah. It's been probably in the works for a little while.
Do you try apply more pressure before they do go?
So there's a strategy where you can performance plan someone out the door.
So a lot of people don't realize this as well, because they do it in sports. Like, if you're not playing well, they'll give you all the shit jobs and stuff like that.
But you know,
it's performance
what?
Pressure.
On the flip side of that as well, someone could absolutely turn around and just do a number on you and show you like the best side of them and just transform as an employee. And I think everyone deserves that chance, you know? So it's not always negative Nelly, like you walk into it and think this is the way that someone's going out. They could turn around and just blow you out.
Do you feel like it's your fault because you've hired the person, plus maybe your cultural environment's not good enough, or your expectations haven't been good enough?
I've learned to take a little bit of responsibility for it, you know, but ultimately some, you know, just like relationships often don't work. Sometimes, you know, employee-employer relationships don't work, or just the job isn't the right fit. So I think context is like super important as well. Learn what you can from it, but also don't keep someone around where it's just not working out, because it's just really toxic.
And the thing about Australia, it's so easy to get a job here. You know what I mean? So like I was talking to a barber and he's from like Ireland and he's like, hey guys, people don't really care about their jobs here because they can just get another one tomorrow.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And I think as well, like from an employee standpoint as well, if you are in a position where it hasn't worked out, like life goes on, you know, you've got to kind of remember that. And as an employer too, life goes on. Like I wouldn't be, you know, kicking stones and feeling like you let everyone down. These things happen. It's so normal. But I think going out with integrity is super important as well. Don't be
yeah, you swear on air.
No, I was gonna really swear. don't be a shit with it all. Like just try and be a good egg, you know.
All right, so let's just sort of summarize this up. Business partners, go into them with your friends, yes?
I've had a good experience with it, yes. But I can also understand how it can go sour. But I think the one of the like the key fundamental things of going into business partnership with someone is just make sure there's a complementary synergy and vision and talent.
I think your first business is okay to go in with your friends because none of you really know what's going on. Yeah. So I feel like that's kind of fun. And when you grow, it does feel cool to sort of do it with your friends. What about now? Would you go into business with?
Yeah, I've always, like, you know, I've got like a second opportunity that's like come up in the tech space and whatnot. And whilst I've got like the funds and I feel the skill set to go in on my own, I just feel like it will be a better ride with someone else. So I don't know. I think there's definitely, I've had a good experience with business partnership.
When do you hire your first person?
When you can't do it yourself.
Who do you hire?
When time is running low and you've got the money to be able to hire someone else and you feel that you as a resource is better utilized somewhere else. Who do you hire? I had a good experience hiring friends and family, but I know that that can also go really sour. So I think it's just right person, right fit.
And I feel like if you do know if you're going to go into business with your friends, like that friendship might not be as strong later down the track. Yeah. And that's kind of important.
Amal and
I've
done that. I mean, we've taken on a friendship basis, we stopped living in each other's pockets so we could better manage the business together. So that meant, you know, moving out together, we divorced. So she got a place and I got a place. And, you know, whilst that was hard, I mean, it was necessary to better run the business.
The balance between a boss and a friend?
Still working on that. Work in progress. Honestly, just know when the business comes first and when the friendship needs savoring as well. So it's, again, just like it's just finding that balance. But if one relationship is better without the other, then toss that up. You know, if at some,
I'd rather have him as a friend than as an employee.
Definitely. So if, you know, things got really sour with Zara and I upstairs, touch wood, I would save my sisterhood versus Zara as an employee first.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Company culture.
Important because you want people walking in there on a day-to-day and just feeling motivated, inspired. I think that means, you know, going out on a limb and just making the place feel a little bit better. I think it's providing better opportunities financially. And I think it's also just like spending a little more to have a better vibe.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You guys always got Oreos and your drink fridge is always full. It's fucking.
Yeah. It's just
good
and
bad news. Good and
bad
news.
It's the little things, right? Yeah, it's the little things. But remember as well, like even things like lavish birthday presents. And I remember even one Christmas we had Zara and Beck, who are our two longest employees. They just pulled us through, honestly, a 12-month period of just like hustle, hustle, hustle. Like we were just so busy, which is a great problem to have. But they really were our saving graces. So at Christmas time, we took them to Cartier. We got them Cartier rings. But, I mean, now we're like seen as that. So it's really hard to come back from when you'd splash out, you know.
It's okay, like, it's like when you get a girlfriend and you take them to 100%. Fiji for their first Valentine's Day.
And it's like, what are you going to do for the next one? It's got to be Paris or else it's off, you know.
We're off to the pub for a snitty.
legit.
Last one, winter. Fire someone
when it's not working out, just like a relationship. Yeah, when it's really grinding your gears and when you're losing sleep over it, it's time to let it go.
Really enjoyed that episode. Thanks for jumping on.
Same. Thanks for having me.